Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, hello and happy Resurrection Day for those of you who celebrate. Happy Easter. I know that today is a day when family get together and just celebrate spiritually. And for those of you who don't celebrate spiritually yet, you still enjoy your family. Happy Sunday to you and for those in the chat room and for those who are on the lines, welcome, welcome, welcome. I feel honored that you would spend your Easter Sunday with us here. My honored guest has been in the virtual green room hanging out with me, and he's ready to rock and roll and just share his writing skills and expertise with us. I want you to encourage anyone who is out there to just join us right now so they can hear what others are doing and to be encouraged, because there are a lot of people out there with visions and they are too afraid to step forward. So just tweet, text, whatever you got to do to get others to come. Facebook them. Just tell them to come by and just listen to what we're talking about this evening. I also want to remind you that I am looking for a few volunteers to assist me in the Bridgeport area. I've gotten offered an opportunity to start a TV show over there, and I'm looking for crew members in the local Bridgeport area to be trained. It's 12 hours of training, and you do not have to pay for the training. I am also looking to add to my crew in the Danbury area and also here on my Blog Talk Radio show. It doesn't matter where you are. If you feel like you like what I do and you want to bless me by volunteering, I'm looking for producers and other volunteers here. We also have a few opportunities for people to be sales personnel for advertisement slot for our show. So that's two of my announcements for right now. And right now I want to play the favorite theme song for this show.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a I wanna be more than someone special. 'Cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Yes, yes, yes. We here on the A New Day show, we really want to be more than a friend. You know, we celebrated this past Friday. We celebrated 4 years. So for those of you who have been listening to me for 4 years, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now I see you as family. And now we have stepped over into year 5. And I just know that God has some amazing, amazing things that he's going to be doing with this show and with me. And yes, with you, the listeners too. Because I know that each and every time that I'm on the broadcast, I am planting a seed in each and every one of you. And as you blossom and bloom, I want for you to call in here and say how this show has helped you. So without any further delay, I want to welcome and introduce to you my honored guest, author Dennis Redline. Dennis, are you there?
I am here. Thank you very much, Daphne.
How are you, my brother?
I'm doing well tonight.
Yeah, you've been doing well every night. You just got back from overseas, and, you know, not only did you go overseas working, you also went on vacation. So you've been doing good. And with all of that busy schedule you have working, your job take you overseas, you still find some time to write. And that is such an amazing blessing. But we are going to be getting to the writing in a little bit. Why don't you take some time and tell us a little bit about you? You know, we want all the nice, juicy details. Don't leave anything out. Tell us who Dennis Redline is.
Okay. That may take a while, but I'll try to get to the good stuff.
That's all right. We got time.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think where to begin, actually. I was born in Connecticut. I lived here most of my life. I live in Torrington, Connecticut right now in the northwest corner. I am 46 years old. I work as a inventory analyst for a manufacturing company in Wallingford, Connecticut. Give me some, what do you want to know?
I don't know what you want to tell us, but it's amazing, you know, that you say you were born and raised here in Connecticut. So, and you have never relocated to any place, or you relocated and you came back?
I lived in South Carolina for a very short time, back when I was like 18 or 19. And
wow.
Actually, in the year 2000, I actually moved to Kentucky. I left Connecticut.
Wow.
I quit my job. I sold my house, and I moved to Kentucky to be a volunteer in the Appalachians.
Wow.
And I did that for 18 months.
Beautiful.
And for a group called the Christian Appalachian Project. And that, for me, that was really
wow,
a life-changing experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that was probably one of the best decisions I made. So.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Let's talk about the boy, Dennis Redline. What do you remember about that boy growing up? That child.
Okay. It was a long time ago, I remember.
Not too long ago. You're still a
that's
baby.
True. That's true. I guess what I've been most remembering lately is I just started bicycling again last year, and I used to love biking as a child. I remember, I think it's definitely seems like a different world now, because we used to
right.
go outside and play. We used to go outside
yes.
and I have two brothers and a sister, so we'd go outside, we'd run around the neighborhood, we'd take our bikes around the block and go a couple blocks.
Yes, yes.
And then eventually you'd get the call in for supper, you'd come back home, and...
It's not like that anymore.
No, not at all. It's kind of sad,
you know,
really.
It's interesting you brought that up, Dennis, because I think it was last week I was speaking with a lady in Florida on the phone, and I heard she said no. And I said, what are you answering no to? She said the children wants to go outside. And I'm thinking, hot, nice Florida, cold Connecticut. And I said, the weather is good. She said, no, I don't let them go outside. And it occurs to me, it's not just the weather, it's the safety. She does not want to be on the phone and take that guardian eyes off of the children. So it's amazing that you would bring that up, because children now rarely, they are not enjoying childhood and all there is. And people talk about, oh, the kids are inside only on those gadgets. But because of the fears that their guardian or parents encounter, that's the reason why there's no freedom for them to go outside and enjoy their childhood. So thanks for bringing that up, Dennis.
Oh, you're welcome. Another thing I was also thinking about was the fact that we had one TV, and, you know, we watched it together as a family at night. There wasn't really anything I remember during the day. I don't think we were even allowed to watch it during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to think, it was just a different world. I mean, we
exactly. We
didn't have cell phones. You know, we had one phone in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We got another one eventually. It was back in the rotary dial days, which no one knows what that is anymore.
I'm telling you. I went to somebody's house and they have a yellow one on their kitchen wall. I was amazing. You know, you remember dinner time conversation back when you were a child growing up?
Oh, yes.
That has gone out of the family now. Very rarely. Last night I was talking with a lady and I said, my God, I wonder where the dinner time conversation goes. Mommy is slaving to get the food on the table. The children, and most times the father too, is sitting in front of the TV. And they come put their meals on the plate and they go back before the TV. There are just a lot of basic things that we need to implement back in the family. And, you know, a lot of times when we raise this kind of a dialogue, the young people are, their eyes are popping open because they have no idea what we are talking about. I want to welcome guest 2-833-2621 to the show. Feel welcome to call in at any time to be part of the dialogue. The number to call is 646-915-8166. You grew up in a Christian home, Dennis, as a child?
My family actually went to an Episcopal church in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. So all your life you were around spiritual/religious people.
Well, for most of it, I'll say there was a time maybe when I wasn't, but I can get into that later.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, when I turned 18, like, my parents said you didn't have to go to church anymore, so
you'll grab
I stopped going for a while. I think like a lot of kids, we felt that we were forced to go maybe, and
drunk.
And you wanted to see what it was like without going, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have to learn the hard lesson just before you come back.
and I'm going to tell parents who are listening to me, do not tell your children when they get 18 that they don't have to go to church anymore, because you are going to regret it. I'm telling you, don't give them that option. You might not be able to drag them anymore, but you just tell them Saturday night what time you're leaving on Sunday, and vice versa. If you're going to the synagogue or some other place and you go Saturday, you just let them know Friday night what time you're leaving. But not going should not be an option, because you always live to regret telling them that. Yes, I want to talk a little bit about your decision to go out west and volunteer for 18 months.
Okay.
Let's talk about that a little. What had brought that on?
Okay. Well, I worked, I'm a former actually IT computer person, and I had worked probably starting in, let's say, 1988 through 90 for 10 years at one company, and then I moved to another company, and then I started a job at a place that I met some very serious people, and one person that I started to get to know was this man. His name was Jeff, and he was a really hard person to get to know. I mean, he was an older person. I say older, probably late 50s, 60s, but very never married, kind of money orientated. And at that time, a couple people were saying, you know, that I was going to be his replacement, like I was going to be the next Jeff, you know what I'm saying? So, and at the same time, simultaneously, what was happening was I started getting back into, I guess, trying to figure out where I was spiritually. So I'm kind of just, I have to tell you the story to prefix it a little bit. So, well, that was going on. I kind of, I guess I'm trying to think of the word. I don't know if I was 100%, what is the right word? Maybe saved at that point, but I was very interested, and I attended some Christian events and started getting back into it. And now this happened over like a period of 2 years. And then this man that I knew, he went to the hospital one day, and I had just started becoming friends with him. It was very hard to become friends with. So I became friends with him. I went to the hospital to visit him. I brought him all kinds of stuff with me. And then he ended up actually, he went in for, you know, a sort of minor thing, but he ended up having a heart attack and he died.
Wow. And was he a spiritual mentor of any sort to you?
He wasn't, but he was a very private person. He was very hard to know. I tried to talk to him about it a little bit, but I didn't get very far. And when I went to the hospital, that was kind of one of my regrets, is that I really didn't come out and say a couple of things that I wanted to ask him about, you know.
Yeah, about the Lord and his beliefs.
Yes. And then when I found out that he had passed away the next day, I was not only shocked, but I was just like, there was a lot of things going on in my head at that time.
Let me ask you something, though, Dennis. Do you think the life that you were living and the way you acted towards him, don't you think he saw those as Christ-like ways, would you say?
I hoped he did. I know he knew that I was definitely a believer. He knew that, I mean, I had, at the time, a stranger sense of humor. I have a sense of humor, that's just, and hopefully he could see that.
Yes, and, you know, you probably didn't, but who knows whether or not somebody came and brought him to. So don't be surprised when you go to heaven and see him there. So, you know, don't have regrets, because a lot of times our lives and our action speaks so much louder than we can say. And I know a lot of times we as believers say, oh, we need to minister to them and lead them to the Lord. Yes, I'm not disputing that. But there's a lot of times that my actions will bring people closer, and they themselves will take that prayer seriously of giving their life over to the Lord. So don't live in any regrets. And from now on, when there's an opportunity, they say you take the bull by the horn. But I am sure that you had blessed that man's life in some way. So his passing, what kind of an awakening did you get out of that?
Well, when that happened, I kind of kept thinking about people that said that, you know, I was going to be the next person, next, you know, like him. And I'm not saying he was a bad person, but I didn't want to. My dream has always been to get married. I don't want to end up being old and being alone. I didn't want to become obsessed with money. I thought that money is good. It's a good tool to have, but if you're obsessed with it, you can really, like, mess up your life. So there's a lot of hard questions that were just coming to me.
Lot of hard questions that you and I, we are definitely going to have a conversation off of here. You need a coach to work with you. So know, there are certain things that you're probably still holding on. And that's another conversation for another time. But I'm honestly going to be speaking with you professionally about that. But I'm glad that it's coming up now. And go ahead, Dennis.
I'm sorry. So that pretty much was the start of my desire to look for something else. I was just trying to think that life can't just be about, you know, work and money. I mean, that was my my question at the time. Is that all there is? Is this all I'm going to be? Is there anything else? You know, what can I do outside here? And that's what led me to decide to look at alternatives.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But you know what I like about that situation when you went out west to volunteer? You said you sold your house and you went. So you weren't going half-heartedly into doing what you were doing. You were committed to doing that. And I honor you for that. Because a lot of people, they would not have sold their house. They would have been holding on to it and say, oh, you know, I don't know if it's going to work. But you were going there to let it work. And that's what I want people to know. Whatever decision you are going to make, you need to commit to that decision. Okay, drink some water, Dennis. I just need to take a commercial break. And when I come back, we are going to segue into writing for you and when did that started. If you're just joining us, my honored guest is Mr. Dennis Redline. And the number you can call for questions is 646-915-8166.
If you're a woman of faith, you've got to attend Designing Your Personal Awesome Future with Dr. Deanna Murphy on April 6th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington, PA. If you're ready to renovate, redesign, and renew your soul, join Dr. Deanna, America's expert on life design, as she helps you to let go of your past, identify solutions for fear of failure, experience inner healing, and much more. Register now at myawesomefuture.eventbrite.com.
All right, so join Dr. Deanna down there in Pennsylvania. We want to see you there. And the guests in the chat room, don't forget, it's your time. You can write your questions. I will read it for Mr. Redline. Or we just love, 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 love when you call in. And the number to do so is 646-915-8166. I also want to remind you that this Wednesday, we are going to be on number 4 of the Millionaire's Mindset. And guess what, guys? This week, we have an all-female at the mic. We are some bad sisters we're going to have at the mic this evening. We're putting the men on the sideline for the next week. And this week, we're all powerful women. We're going to rock and we are going to roll. All right, all right. So, Dennis, back to you. Take a couple sips of water, my brother, so you moisten your throat. When did you realize you had some interest in writing?
I've always been pretty creative. I've enjoyed reading, especially science fiction. In high school, I won a short story contest that I entered. And since that time, I mean, I've dabbled in writing a few things, but I was never serious. I pretty much wrote stuff, and then I would just throw it away. And it wasn't until about 2007, I think, is when I really became interested in writing again.
Can you remember what spurred on that interest?
I think part of it at the time was I have worked with teenagers for quite a few years now in a Christian group, and you can see some of the things that teenagers read and are exposed to now, and I was interested in trying to get something that would have Christian heroes, a story that would kind of bring that, and you know, hopefully my dream, which was and still is, you know, into a movie screen to really mainstream into the public some Christian heroes and ideals.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so when did you, as a matter of fact, we're going to be speaking about two of your books tonight. So let's start with the first one. When did you write it? What's the title and what's the content?
Okay, the book is called Journey to the King of Kings, and this is the first one's book one, Exile. And I started probably in like 2007. I didn't actually publish it until 2009. I didn't know anything about publishing, nothing about how to do it or anything. I started just with an idea for a story, and I knew it was going to be more than one book at the time. I mean, it's going to be three books for the whole series. And I started writing it and got to a point where I decided, well, either I'm going to, you know, be serious about this or just stop doing it. So I think probably in 2008, I got really serious about looking for a publisher, and I'm self-published, so I paid to have this book published. And the story is actually, it's for teenagers and for adults. It's sort of an adventure story. It's kind of like, you know, the Narnia kind of thing, or Lord of the Rings kind of story. And I was trying to get a story, like I said, that would have a Christian theme and Christian heroes. So that was where I started at.
All right. When you shared with people around you, you know, maybe your inner circle or just people you know, that you were embarking on this endeavor, what were some of the insights you got from that, or some of the encouragement?
One of the first things I did was I went to, I know a gentleman who's actually, he's written historical fiction and published several books, and I went to him to ask him for his advice on how to go about doing the publishing. Mm-hmm. And when he was encouraging, he said that one of the hardest things is actually promoting your book, getting it out there, marketing, and you're going to have to spend a lot of time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I also printed out part of my story, and I had like readers that I asked to, you know, do some reading and give me some feedback on what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I would know, you know, is this actually going to be any good? Do they, mm-hmm. are they going to like it? Are people not going to like it? I mean, am I mm-hmm. fooling myself? You know, so kind of did that as well, and mm-hmm. got some good feedback, some encouragement mm-hmm. from people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, as entrepreneurs, as writers and everything, I want to welcome guest 3228 to the show. We must, and I use the word must in bold capital letters, we cannot afford not to believe in our work. Even when nobody else does, we must continue to believe and to be faithful to that which we are called to do. So that is very, very, very important. Very important. So for those of you out there, if you have a question for Dennis, call in, ask him a question. Okay, I want for you to choose, but before you choose, could you read the table of contents? Let us know what each chapter entails, and then I want for you to choose. We still have an hour to go. I want for you to choose something to read for us.
Okay. actually, in the first book, I don't really have a table of contents. That's okay then. Each chapter is named, but I can kind of maybe, can I outline the story, what it's about?
Sure,
and then maybe
of course.
Go from there.
Of course, yes.
There's really four main characters, but it all centers around I'll say a teenager. His name is Arden in the book. He's 18 years old, and the premise of the book is he lives in a land where there is a cathedral, and in this cathedral there is a throne, and this throne is in the center of the cathedral, and no one can sit on the throne but the King of Kings. And, of course, when he goes to the cathedral, he sits on the throne, which is against the law. So his punishment is to go across the sea to another country to find the King of Kings and to apologize and to get the judgment from the King of Kings. Of course, the King of Kings is Jesus. I mean, it's a metaphor for Jesus. And so that's really, the story is his journey. And there's also three other characters in the book, and they all have different roles to play. One is, of course, there's a princess who's on the other side in the land where the King of Kings is from, and there is a man who is a prophet type of person who is a servant of the Lord Most High, and he's very important in the book. And there is also a woman who is also from the same country as Arden, who has left the country because her and her friends didn't want to follow the Lord Most High or the King of Kings, so they left, and they've encountered some bad things, and part of that is about her past as well. So that's kind of
beautiful.
Where we
beautiful
start.
Story, yes.
And, of course, the book ends in sort of the cliffhanger, so when they get to the end, when he goes to find the King of Kings, of course, I don't want to spoil the suspense, but at least book two.
Right, because we're going to talk about book two, so don't go there yet. But
okay.
You just laid the story out for us. Would you like to read any section of the book for us?
Sure, I'm looking through.
You're not going to read the whole book so that the people don't go by it. So just, you know, you're just going to have to give them a little tease.
Okay. I just need a couple seconds here to find something that would be...
Just open the book someplace and just read.
Okay.
You don't have to pick and choose.
Well. All right.
Come on, guys. While he's getting his act together, 646-915-8166. I am sure you guys have a question. I'm sure you all want to find out why he used that title. Anything, let us hear from you. Ready, Mr. Dennis?
Okay, I am ready.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is from a chapter, and I just want to give a little tiny background on it, where the man I spoke of, the prophet, his name is Ildera, and he is speaking to a crowd of people, and he is kind of preaching to them. So I will start here. It says, 7 days later, Ildera appeared again, sitting in the same spot as before, and the prophets and the sellers came up the hill. Ildera sat without moving, watching and waiting. Many people from the city who had heard him speak or heard rumors of his last appearance came out just to see what would happen. They sat in the shade waiting. The sellers enjoyed the extra business and were thinking of spreading the news of this new prophet. They would tell travelers and point to the strange man on the hill. The other prophets did not know what to expect. They were pleased with the large crowd but felt uneasiness in their hearts. Their hearts were like a thunderstorm approaching. Though the approaching clouds are black, if you look the other way, the false deception of blue sky is all you see. Finally, when the crowd was at its peak, Ildera stood. He walked down on the same ledge where he had stood before, above the prophets. People of Tyre, he shouted, hear the words of the Lord Most High. His voice sounded like thunder, and the people felt silence. Staring down at the prophets, Ildera said, a truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to discerning. Looking out to the crowd, he continued, stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. A murmur went through the crowd at these words. A brave traveler on the horse yelled, what would you have us do then? Ildera continued without pausing.
His voice was softer but equally as penetrating to the crowd. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the joy may end in grief. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. I just want to point out a lot of this is from Proverbs, is what he's speaking.
Yes.
Which I use as part of this. I'm going to jump ahead a tiny bit, if that's okay.
No, jot your notes so you don't forget. I feel led to ask you this, and I am going to ask you. Do you think losing, you think this particular section of the book has anything to do with the friend you lost when you were out west, the way you lost him?
No, not really.
Okay.
It's a good question, though.
Okay. All right. Okay, continue. You wanted to move ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. One old woman had come from the city with her grandchildren to hear Eldara speak. When she heard that a prophet had used the name of the Lord Most High, she was filled with amazement. She had brought with her a loaf of bread baked in the traditional way. Her youngest granddaughter was ill, and she and the other grandchildren had carried her along. The woman was too old to climb the hill to reach Eldara, so she sent the kids up with instructions. They went up by a path that led around the hill from behind and finally reached him. He was sitting on a mat on the ground under a large tree, reading an old book and speaking strange words. The children were frightened and would not come closer. He stopped reading and motioned them over. Yeah. "Sir," said the eldest child, "our grandmother has sent us with bread for you to eat and water for you to drink." Eldara stopped reading and turned towards them. Inside, he was filled with compassion at the sight before him. An older boy was carrying a young girl in his arms, and another smaller boy had the bread and water. The boys were tired and scared. "Do not be afraid," he said. "Come closer and sit." The boys approached, and the younger placed the bread and water at his feet. "What else did your grandmother say?" he asked kindly. "Our sister is sick," they said. "She said you could make her well. We will do whatever you say." "Do not be troubled," he replied. He stood up and took the girl in his arms. She was pale and feverish. "I cannot make her well," he said. Tears filled the younger boy's eyes at these words. "However," Eldara continued with a gleam in his eye, "the Spirit of the Lord Most High can. Do you believe so?" "Yes," said the older boy. "What about you?" Eldara asked younger. "Yes," he answered through his tears. "Then you must help me by believing. Ask the Lord Most High in your heart to heal your sister as I ask out loud." He placed the girl on the mat and sat behind her. He then motioned for the boys to sit down next to him and told them to close their eyes. Then he said, "Lord, I thank you that you care for this child and desire her to be healed. We ask that you heal her right now from any sickness or disease that is in her body." Eldara put his hand on her forehead as he prayed. The girl stirred from her sleep and opened her eyes. The boys heard her and opened their eyes to see her wide awake. They cried out with joy at this sight. She sat up and her brothers embraced her. Eldara took bread, thanked the Lord Most High for it, and gave her a piece to eat and some water to drink. She drank thirstily, and her power disappeared. Eldara shared the bread and water with the boys as well. Once the girl was able to stand, Eldara sent the children back to their grandmother. "Tell your grandmother this. The city of Tyre is no place to raise children. Settle your affairs and return here in 2 weeks. I will be waiting for you." The children left with smiles on their faces and joy in their hearts.
Wow. Powerful. What are some of the testimonies or feedback you have been getting from readers?
I think a lot of people have told me they they've enjoyed some of the, I think, Christian principles that I've tried to put in the book. Like you just read about healing, about speaking it out loud. One of one of my major themes is that consequences have action. So the things that we do.
Action has consequences. Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes. Mm-hmm. Instead of backwards.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that,
so
because that's
true.
What a lot of people don't think about, you know? They're so quick to act without thinking of the consequences. And how is your book reaching the readers? Because that sounds like, you know, every church, every youth group, every youth agencies should be using this with their children. How are they getting it? Are they getting it, should be the question.
Well, I actually haven't been that successful in my marketing. A lot of it has been by word of mouth. When I wrote this book, I wasn't in it to make money. I was in it really just to try to tell a story and try to inspire people.
Yeah, and it's not. I didn't ask the question about the money, because as you know, as an entrepreneur and as an author, right now when we write books, it's really not about the money. But you know, I see my books as my business card.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people will go and stick my business card away somewhere, when I give them a book, they read the book. So it is
right.
Making a difference in their lives. So whether we are selling it or we giving it to ministries,
mm-hmm.
people should know where they can get it and to become accessible. Because, authors don't make money off books. We make it off speaking and stuff like that. Forget. You think anybody, how much books it would take to sell for $20 for you to become rich? Forget about it. It's not happening. It is just not happening. You know, but we are going to go. We have 47 minutes remaining. I know you're wondering where the time went. You were thinking, we're not going to tell the world what you were thinking. But, you know, before we go to book two, what are some of your expectations from the people who read book one? What you hoping will happen for them?
I'm hoping that... especially for teenagers, like there is a part of this book, and it's just, I think if I read it on the air, it wouldn't really make sense. It does deal with a young woman who has a teen, left her home, and she went to a different land and
mm-hmm.
experienced some bad things. And part of it, I mean, I tried to be real about it and not sugarcoat it, but at the same time not get really, there really is no, it's not explicit or vulgar or anything, but she does have... Mm-hmm. There's drinking going on, there's sex mm-hmm. going on, and I think when people see that and then they see where it's, you know, that experience was not good for her, even though it sounded like it was going to be really good. So when people see this, I hope that they understand what happens when these choices are before them. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know something? Because not every parent or guardian are ready for this kind of conversation. And this conversation needs to take place in the home. And that's why our teenagers are going out there to experiment, because families are holding back from having needed provocative dialogue with them at home. And what they do, they go out and they look for boys and girls to help them to answer those questions and get involved and entangled in behaviors that they are not ready for. Cash Madam, I welcome you to the show. The number you can call in for questions is 646-915-8166. You know, a lot of parents, they are not touching the topic of sex and all of that with a long stick. And we, as parents, must get comfortable in having these conversations with our young people. Don't allow them to go outside to ask the questions, because what's going to happen when they go outside and ask people? People are not just answering them, they are demonstrating. And by the time they get through demonstrating to them, hello, you are going to be sorry about what happened. So we got to step up and begin to answer the questions. Go, yeah, you have something else to say about that one, Dennis? Anything else to say about book one?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's some other points in there. I think there's also part of it, our main character, he goes through the desert, and there's a bird that goes with him, which is represented, which is the Holy Spirit, pretty much. Mm. And it just kind of shows, like, he listens, and then he doesn't listen, and when he doesn't listen, things happen that are not so great, but then he goes back, and I think it's pretty good about, you know, when we walk through life, sometimes, you know, we can hear, you know, what the Spirit says. We don't always do
that's
it.
That's right. Exactly. And we need to let the children know that too, because I think for religious people, and I'm not going to apologize for this, we get so holier than thou, and that's why some of the young people don't want to listen to us, because we forget where we were. You know, we
right.
We become so, you know, hoity-toity and holy that we don't let them know we used to mess up too and tell them what we did. This way, they'll begin to listen to us. Thank you, Cash Madam. Someone in the show said this is their kind of conversation. Thank you so much for that. We need to let the kids know, listen, I've been there. I've done some of that. And here is what it get me. I can shorten your learning curve by telling you what not to do. We need to mature and we need to grow up and have these kind of conversation with our boys and with our girls. You know? Go ahead, Dennis. I cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
And I just think from that, I hope that people, when they read it, they really see a lot of things in the book that are related to, you know, it's real life, but at the same time, it's a good story, and it kind of ties the different people together. So you got four different kinds of people and four different situations, so
mm-hmm.
you can see how the Lord is working in all of their lives and how he's
That's
bringing
right.
us together through good and bad. So.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, Dennis, if they read it and get one lesson, your job was done. And
okay.
once they read it and they keep reading it again, the second time they read it, they're going to get one more lesson. We don't want them to get the book and stick it away on the shelf. We want them to read it. And I don't know why the Spirit want me to say this, and I'm going to say it. For those parents who are not comfortable having the conversation, be honest enough to yourself and your children and get somebody else who is comfortable with the topic to meet with you guys and have the conversation. I don't know who it was for. That was for somebody. Somebody needed to hear that. People in the chat room, write your question, please, or call in 646-915-8166. Somebody's typing, so while they are typing, I want to see if that's a question that is coming. But I want, Dennis, if there's any other section of book one that you want to finish with, we want to tie that up, and then we want to move into book two, please.
Okay. I'll just do a little browsing here. It's actually been a long time since I've read it.
That's okay. That's all right. You are the author, so that's good. All right, so come on, guys, come on. There's nobody calling. What happened? You all don't like me? Call in. I'm going to feel neglected if nobody calls in. Please, 646-915-8166. You all got to show some love to my guests when they come on, because they're going to say, when we go on that show, nobody calls in, or we ain't going back on that show. Don't invite us. So come on, guys. Show us some love. Light up the board. 646-915-8166. Cash Madam is writing. I hope you're not writing a novel. You're taking mighty long to type. they probably type like I do with one finger. All right, let me read. So true, as a youth pastor, so this person is a youth pastor, I've realized that a lot of our youth are facing a lot. Sometimes the parents are afraid to confront the fact and truth of what's really happening. On point. And you know, they expect church to have the conversation and they expect school to have the conversation. But I tell every parent, you got to just step up to the plate. Believe we need to confront, because church children are having sex. Amen. Hallelujah. The church children are having more sex in the closet than the children who are not going to church. Because you know what? The ones that are not going to church, their parents threatened them and said, if I ever catch you with your underwear down before that boy, I'm going to kill you. That's what they tell them, because they're not in church. So they just tell them as it is. And guess what? They have the fear. But the ones in church, yes, they're having sex too. Thank you, Cash Madam, for saying that. That is on the money. If we ended this show right now, you all would have gotten your money's worth. So, you all didn't even pay, but that's all right. That's all right. So thank you for that confirmation, because it is true. We look and we think that they are not doing it, but they are. And we are the reason why they are doing that, because we are not having the conversation with them. And they go out there with the tight pants and the short skirt, and the little boys start telling them how they're cute. And they don't know to say thank you and move on. They think being cute means that they got to take their underwears off. So you got to step up to the plate and let your kids know what you support and what you believe in. Thank you so much. Okay, Dennis, back to you, my brother.
Okay.
Book one, are you finished? You ready to move to book two? Or you have something else in book one you want to say?
Well, I thought about reading just maybe a little of another chapter, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. No, I don't mind. The time is yours.
Okay. One of the other characters, I just want to preface this a little bit. Her name is Ariana. She's a princess. And another character's name is Callie, which is two of the other main characters. And Ariana is a child in this chapter. And it is a festival in her country, and which is pretty much supposed to be Israel. So they're having a festival, and I'm just going to read about that a little bit and see how it goes. So here we go. Okay, it says, the festival day seemed to go by way too fast for Ariana. She spent the morning helping her aunt and others prepare the food. As the people were assembling around the tent, Ariana heard sounds of laughter and kids playing. Some musicians were playing, and now and then someone would sing a song. Ariana saw her older sister and brothers and ran to greet them. Soon everyone had arrived, including her parents, who were some of the last people to come, along with the king of Kadesh. Ariana had planned to sit with her cousin Sarai and Callie, but could find neither one. She ended up sitting between her mother and father. At first, being in the center of the tent with the king of Kadesh and his family across from them was exciting. However, the conversations did not interest her, and she ate not unhappily in silence for the most part. She politely answered the questions put to her. When she had finished eating, she leaned against her mother, who had put her arm around her. The feasting would continue all afternoon, but after a while, her mother suggested that she go and find Sarai and play. Her father agreed, and he embraced her before she left. Ariana spent the afternoon playing in the fields with Sarai and her friends. Many games and sports had been organized in different places. Ariana would take a break back in the tent for some water and sit with different people. Callie spent the afternoon down at the bridge. The noise of the celebration brought back too many memories of the Queen City, even though the situation was completely different. She helped bring food down to the guards who remained on duty. She was able to walk all the way across the bridge to the other side with food. The guard who liked her was stationed there today. She brought him and his companion food, and they ate outside the first guard post. From here, the road ran north up into the mountains. I'm going to skip a little bit.
That's all right.
Get to a more exciting point. I just wanted to get to, okay, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
At last, the rays of sunshine. At the last rays of sunshine, everyone gathered in silence. Three of the elders were present, and one of them named Uriah led a prayer service. He sang a song of praise to the Lord Most High in the ancient language of the people. Every time Arion heard it, something stirred deep inside, an awe and respect for the Lord Most High. She looked up at this as the sunlight faded and saw the first star coming out. It was the brightest star in the sky, the center of a constellation called the Hand of God. Let's skip here.
Yeah, while you're skipping over, someone in the chat room wrote, and I want to read it. Children today learn so much lesson, good or bad, through the media. It's good to see more books where they can learn Christian values that may be missed in their upbringing. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Yes, and that's one of the reasons why Dennis is on this show, because it is a needed topic to be talked about. So thank you so much for that. All right, continue, Mr. Dennis.
Okay, let's see.
We have 33 minutes remaining, so if you want to move to book two, we want to give them an opportunity to pick the book up. If you read too much, they might not want to pick it up, you know?
Okay, that's fair enough. I'll save the suspense for everyone.
Yes, and let's go to book two. Tell them what book two is about and when you wrote book two.
Okay, book two actually was published in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
This was a little bit different for me, as I had signed an agreement with the publisher, and pretty much you have 1 year to complete your book and then publish it. So there was a deadline in place, and I had assumed when I started that I would have no problem meeting the deadline, but as I got distracted, it was kind of a rush at the end.
life happens. Life happens, you know?
Exactly.
So let's hear what you have. This one has table of contents?
Ooh, this one doesn't either. I guess
okay. You're
teaching me that in the future I need to actually do that.
No. I just want it because the thing is, when there is a table of content, we can just tell the people what to whet their appetites with the content.
Okay.
And then they can move along. But that's fine. It's not good or right. You have to follow your heart and what your heart tells you to do. So,
I will say, I think book two, I like book two as my favorite book so far. I love book one, but I think book two, it develops the characters a little bit more. You get to see them more personally. And
that's all right, and that's your right too. That's your right
to
do that.
I think people are going to have to read both and decide.
That's right. You see? And then we're going to have another show where they say, oh, no, my favorite is such and such. I want to welcome guests 3228 to the show, 3727 to the show. The number to call in, 646-915-8166. And we have exactly 31 minutes and 22 seconds remaining with Christian author Dennis Redline. All right. So let's hear why book two is your favorite. What are you going to read for us?
Let's see. Book two is a continuation of book one. And in the beginning, I don't want to really...
Well, thanks, Dennis, thank you so much for letting us know that book two is a continuation of book one. We love you so much for telling us that. As if we did not know. I just had to tell you that. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, my brother.
Well, the book two, actually, I should say the book two is called Hearts Revealed is the title of it. And I think... that's kind of a theme. I think you see into the heart of the characters more than you do in book one. And the first part of it is kind of like the cliffhanger, the end of book one, gets carried over to book two, and then I don't want to spoil that by reading the beginning, but then we move on to another adventure And we have a new character in the story whose name is Lydia, who is actually a servant of an evil queen. And she's actually based on a person I met in real life. And the person I met in real life isn't evil, but when I had met her and two of her friends, I mean, they became characters in my book. So a lot of this book actually revolves around real places that I've been. Some of it, I mean, you wouldn't tell from the book, but is from being in hiking. I do a lot of hiking in the northwest corner, and I'm up Appalachian Trail, so...
You know, nobody's going to want to hike with you now, Dennis. They're going to think you're writing about them. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
No, that's okay. I do actually have, I'm working on three other books right now. I'm working on the third and final book of this series, and I have two other books that one of them is, it's fiction, but a lot of the characters in the book are based on people that I know, so... Don't worry that I'm writing about you or anything. I'm not writing about you, but...
If I read that book and see me in there, Dennis, I'm going to get you. Anyhow.
It won't be your name. It won't be your name. It'll be something
else.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead, my friend.
So, in... I think one of the favorite parts of book two, which is outside of the main characters, is, I think, this character. Her name's Lydia. And like I say, she... She is not a very nice person, and you can see that what happens to her when she ends up actually, I guess, experiencing firsthand, I guess, the power of the Lord Most High. So,
Dennis, before this question get lost in the shuffle, when can they expect book three? They are holding you accountable, my brother. I love it.
That is a question that a lot of people have asked me, and I have started it. I've actually written the last chapter, and I am just trying to fill in the middle pieces of it. So I'm hoping by the end of the year that I will have something that is ready to at least be proofread.
I am going to answer the question for the person who asked it. I offered my service to be his coach. So I'm going to help hold him accountable for you. So it's not going to be on the back burner. He's going to be stepping up to the plate. So I just answered the question for you.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, then.
I guess... One other thing, I mean, for other writers and probably creative people, I guess you'll know that, like I said, when I have two other books, and sometimes I get excited by them, so I switch writing and I write what I'm in the mood for, and I have two other stories that I think are going to be very powerful stories, but I guess I should finish book three, so...
All right.
Hold me accountable to the fire, and I will,
yeah.
I will say.
The person told me thanks, and they are laughing. So I know.
I wonder if they know me.
And I will let you know whether he hires me or not. Let me ask them if they know you.
I was going to do that too.
Do you know Dennis? All right. I'm asking them, Dennis.
Okay.
We'll see what they say. They didn't answer yet. It's all right. We're not going to ask you to reveal yourself if you know him. And if you know me too, let me know, because you can check in with me to see whether he hired me to be his coach or not. Anyway, go ahead, Dennis. We have 25 minutes remaining.
Okay.
They are not writing yet, so.
Okay. Well, I do know some people that we're going to actually... kind of check this out, so I'm wondering if someone that read my book, which is okay. I mean, people ask me that a lot, so.
And that's okay. I want to ask if anybody is listening, whether online or in the chat room or on the telephone, if you have read the book, I want you to please take an opportunity to call in 646-915 and give us your feedback about it. So
I love feedback.
Do that. Yes, it's very important, and that's how we grow. So D-U-N-N-O-1, do you know Dennis? And do you know myself? Type in the room, yes or no. Okay, go ahead, Dennis. I'll tell you what they say.
All right.
Yeah, what? You're talking about the revealing of your hearts or something? Heart revealed?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is book two. You'll see some, I don't even want to say a lot of the key points, because I think it'll there's some pretty good surprises in the
just
story.
Skip over. No, because we don't want to do that. Skip over, you know. Why don't we do this? What are you hoping for to be revealed in the readers of book two? It sounds like if you read any part, you're going to be giving away something. We don't want to spoil the fun.
Okay. Well, I can actually, let's see, I'm just looking here. I can read. There's a couple of new characters, and I can read a little bit.
Okay.
But I do think for the main characters, you're going to see some, and I think some people already, you can suspect some things, but there is definitely some, I'd say, surprises in the book for people. I think pleasant surprises, I would hope.
Wonderful.
And
that's
the book
good.
Also ends, it is a cliffhanger as well, so that's why people have been asking me for book three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that means, well, they probably already read one and two.
Yes.
All right.
So they're ready for book three. So,
mm-hmm. And I think they know us, Dennis, because they're not answering the question. Because
okay.
they don't want to lie. So that's all right. They don't want to say no, they don't know us. And they don't want to say yes, because I'm going to tell them to calling, and then I would figure out who they are because of their voice. So they don't want to do that. That's okay. Play it safe. Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead, Dennis. 22 minutes.
Ooh, time is going by a lot quicker than I thought here.
Can you imagine, you see, when you're having fun?
Exactly.
Time goes by when you're having fun. Why don't I play a song until you get your act together here?
Okay.
With love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my voice, for I will always sing up when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. Mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my voice, for I will always sing up when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my voice, for I will always sing up when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever.
of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
All right. So, Mr. Dennis, how are you doing? You ready for us? I want to welcome Dave Redline to the chat. Yes, you got some family turning up. All right. Thank you. And listen, I hope you have read his books. You can call in and say something about your brother. I'll give you an opportunity to do that. The number to do so is 646-915-8166. So you're welcome to call and say something about... Are you the baby, Dennis?
No, I'm the second. This is my older brother.
Oh, how sweet. All right, so go ahead until the phone rings. I don't know if anybody's going to call.
Okay.
That person's still not answering whether they know you or I. So we're going to just take it that they know us and don't want to tell us who they are. But that's fine. Okay, so go ahead, Dennis, from book two. You have chosen to read something?
Yes, I have. Okay, this
go
is
ahead.
A section where the character Lydia that I told you about meets a child, and this child is a, I'll say sort of like a prophet, a girl that's filled with the spirit of God, and she says different things. So this is about their encounter. So here we go. Okay. The child came down the road in the same procession as she usually did. When it seemed that she would just pass by again, the child stopped. Turning, she looked at Lydia. Now Lydia had stared down the strongest of men and lied to kings while looking them in the eye. The queen was the only one she could not match. The gaze from this child took her off guard. The child was at least 10 feet away, but her stare pierced through Lydia's soul, and she felt nakedness far beyond the physical. She felt that her past suddenly lay exposed before them, and the child was reading it line by line backwards from the present. The child's normally sweet face changed into an angry glare, and Lydia felt helpless and began to panic inside. She could see in her peripheral vision that the people around them were not liking this. Any real or perceived harm to the child would surely meet with punishment. She could not draw upon her usual repertoire of false behavior and lies to fool this child. Her face was turning red as heat rose up, causing small beads of sweat to form on her forehead. She wanted to run, but her legs would not obey the mental command. When it seemed she could take no more, a forgotten memory surfaced from long ago in her own childhood, far before the hatred began. In this flashback, she saw herself in the garden with her mother, a simple child studying the beauty of flowers there. It relaxed her, which did not seem possible, and she was able to draw upon this memory to smile slightly at the child. It was an expression that she had not used in so very long, one of gentleness and almost kindness. It was also the most genuine expression she displayed in some time. The child's angry glare faded, and the probing look ceased. Smiling again, she walked past Lydia towards the hill where Arden had sat. The cloud was still contemplating the encounter, not quite sure if it was over yet, and whether Lydia should be punished in some way. The child picked a white flower and brought it over to Lydia. Handing it to her, she looked at Lydia with an overwhelming look of love. Lydia did not know how to react, and for one second, the tenacious grip on her emotions faltered, and one tear ran down her face. The crowd sighed to themselves. Somehow, this was another miracle working in the life of a stranger from their point of view, and the act exonerated Lydia from any action on their part. The child continued on and made her way to the stage. When the focus on her had faded, Lydia made her way through the crowd and back to the main street of the town. Her heart was in turmoil, and her head ached from the cascading thoughts that would not cease. She picked up the pace and soon had left the town, heading for the crossroads. Something about that place captivated her, and the solitude brought some calm to her twisted mind, ever on guard for any threat to her. Subconsciously, she was led to go there now. The walk was 30 minutes, but the time passed quickly. Memories long forgotten were surfacing. Her parents killed suddenly in an accident, alone in the street, surrounded by liars and perverts. She eventually went to the queen, had the nerve to sneak into the palace and demand help. That was the beginning of it all. It was the queen who had told her the truth, that the Lord Most High was to blame. He let it happen, did not stop the horrible things that happened to her. The queen reinforced this many times, so now Lydia had no doubt in her mind that it was true. Until now. Somehow, some way, the trip back through her memories reawakened part of the past she had long forgotten and abandoned. That little girl knew that the Lord Most High was not to blame. But who was, then? Lydia could not find the answer.
Mm. Wow. I listened to you read that, and it brought to my mind last week in the Easter production. I don't know if you were at church. And one of the little kids, one of the tiny ones in the front, asked Bob about why there were Easter bunnies. I don't know if you were there. And he said he thought about it, and then he said, I don't know. And, you know, during the week I was speaking with a friend of mine, and he was pointing out that even as Christians, there's so much that's intertwining our practices that we keep doing without analyzing what we are doing and why we are doing it. You know, because he was talking about the painting of eggs and going back and all of the things. And Christians will be getting in and they really don't know where they began and why. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of unanswered questions that instead of just begin to practice certain things, we need to research and find out why are certain things done. And, you know, not just say because I grew up and my family has always been doing this. You know, we ought to, just like politics, we got to know which party we are supporting and why. Not because your family did it. You should have your own values about what you're doing. So, the line is open. We have 12 minutes remaining. I don't know if anybody's going to call in. Dave, are you going to call in to say something to your brother or about your brother? I want to make sure that he didn't write anything and I miss it. I didn't see that. It's interesting. I just love my listeners and my supporters. One of my supporters logged in and she said, you know, I don't do religion, so I got to fly. So she took off and I still love her. It's okay. It is okay, you know.
It is okay.
It is okay. So we have 11 minutes remaining. And Dennis, what do you want to leave us with? If someone calls in or if someone says something from the chat room, I'll read it. But what are your intentions for people who listen to you now live and those who will be listening later on the archive? What are you hoping they will get out of this conversation between us?
Well, I'm hoping that they will, some of the things we said about talking to your teenagers and facing the issues that we need to face in life and not hide them is very important. I'm hoping that some people will be interested enough to check out my book. And if they do read it, I love feedback. I welcome anyone to, you can find me on Facebook, find my book on Facebook, write anything you want to me and let me know what you thought of it. And it will just help me get better in the future. I'm thinking those are the top things I could think of offhand.
And this, what do you want to say to the teenagers?
It's definitely a different world out there than the world a lot of us, I'll say, adults grow up in. And I think it's very important to, I would say to, first of all, I mean, if they're going to church, if they're Christians, really to read their Bible, to get in a group with other teenage Christians and to not be afraid to be a person in the world. It's very tough. And I think just to really not give in to peer pressure, I think that's very hard. Not give in to the media. Don't be follower. Think for yourself. And I think those are important things.
You know, Dennis, you just said something that just triggered another question, because I've had this conversation with women, but I haven't had it with men. What is it like being a Christian single male? I know what it's like being a Christian single female, and I've had that conversation with many sisters, but I've never had the conversation with the men. What is it like for you guys?
In what perspective? I mean,
any perspective. I don't want to specify. I mean, what is it like? What's your world like?
That's an interesting question. Let's see.
You have never been married, right?
Correct. Yes.
So all you know is what you have. You have never had. For me, I was married. So I know both worlds. But, you know, just tell me what it is. I mean.
I think I wish there was a way somehow that someone could certify that you're like, okay. I mean, looking at, I guess even the single word, because a lot of people that just say they're Christian, that means different things to different people. So
mm-hmm. That's right.
That's a big discovery that I made, mm-hmm. and it's difficult, I think.
It's challenging.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
The challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's all I can really say at the moment.
Based on, you haven't said much, but being who I am and do the work that I do, it appears to me as if there are no difference in being a single male than it is for a single female. Because each and every day I encounter people who challenge my beliefs, my practices, my choices of celibacy. People challenge that. And they'll even go as much as say, well, how do you do it? I mean, they think that you need to be promiscuous in this world and you have to be mingling and doing all the other stuff out there that the world is doing. And it puzzles people to see that you can live a life of celibacy and just believe in who you are and who you are created to be. And I've never had that conversation with a guy. So it doesn't appear to me as if it's any different for you guys than it is for us women. It is still a struggle for you guys as well.
Definitely. I think that's a whole other, we could do a whole show on that, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And who knows, if the Spirit wanted to happen, it's going to happen down the road. Because maybe it is, you know. It's just that not everybody's bold to come up here and talk their business on the way. I don't care. I just talk my business.
I'm in a little bit of a different, I guess one thing I've seen a lot, and I'm just going to throw it out there, is I see a lot of people that are still, they're struggling with issues from the past. And mm-hmm. I think that's interfering with their ability to move forward. I mean, I'm not the perfect guy, trust me. And
yeah, nobody is.
But that's one thing I've seen in people, and I'm not trying to judge them. I can just, but
yes.
I see some of the hurt that they're still holding on to, and I think mm-hmm. that's really, it's really tough. I mean,
yeah, you got to love yourself, and you got to love yourself and forgive yourself. Because God is not holding anything against you, no matter what others try to tell you. He has already set you free. So you need to free yourself too. Well, tell people how to get in touch with you, Dennis, and where they can find your book and all of that.
Okay. Well, the first book is on Amazon. You can just look up my name. The last name is really easy. It's R-E-D-L-I-N-E, Redline, so it's pretty simple. First name is Dennis. My other book is available through Zulon Press, which I have to spell for you. It is X-U-L-O-N Press. They have a website, and you can find my second book there. You can get a hold of me probably the easiest way. I think you can look up my book on Facebook. You should be able to find it and be able to make comments on it. You can also send me a message on Facebook. It's probably the easiest way that I could think of.
All right. Okay. And this is your last chance, you guys in the chat room, if you want to write something. You're going to have to write it now. We got 4 minutes. It's countdown time. 4 minutes remaining. The number is 646-915-8166. And Dennis, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I caught you. I've been trying for a couple of years to get you to come on the show to talk about your book. And I'm glad it happened tonight. It's
yes.
a perfect time. Give us
Thank
the opportunity.
You
oh, you're very welcome. It's an honor. And I want to thank all the people who contributed to the conversation. Somebody say, hi, Uncle Dennis. Can't wait for your next book. Love, Rachel. Oh, how sweet. Rachel, it's a pity you didn't call in, baby, to talk to Uncle Dennis. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, I want you guys to join me again on Wednesday when I will be on part 4 of the Millionaire Mindset. And don't forget, it's going to be all female cast and we are going to really rock your world. So I will see you again on Wednesday. Remember that you are created for a destiny. Don't allow anyone to derail you. Love you guys. Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you.
Call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
For showing me. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this lady. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this lady.